Hey everyone, welcome back to The Forum, the official podcast of the Institute on Science for Global Policy. I'm Daniela.
Along with Aubrey.
Cleo here as well. And for those of you listening in, thanks for socializing with science today.
If you, at home, want to join the conversation, be sure to tweet us your questions, comments, and opinions with @ISGPForum and the hashtag ISGPForum. And you'll find our show on Facebook at facebook.com/ISGPForum.
Okay, so now that I've got you all tuned in, who wants to hear about my new home on the farm and all my new four-legged friends?
Well, I certainly would love to hear all about it, but I don't think that's what our listeners tuned in for today. Although, farm life doesn't stray too far from today's conversation. Today's podcast will discuss a debate that occurred at one of our Food Safety, Security, and Defense conferences, which was held in October 2013 in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Food Safety, Security, and Defense, Focus on Food and Water, was the name of the conference.
And the paper in question, titled Water as an Essential Element in Food Safety, was written by Robert E. Brackett, the director of the Institute for Food Safety and Health and vice president of the Illinois Institute of Technology.
So, water and safety. I guess we'll be talking about infectious chronic diseases?
Well, actually, water does play a significant role in the spread of diseases. But what most people don't realize is that it actually plays an even larger role in public health through its influence on food safety.
Yep, she's right. Actually, regardless of whether water is used as a direct ingredient in food or used during its production, it becomes part of the food and can therefore pose a major risk to the safety of people consuming the product.
Uh-oh, so I should really be paying attention to the water I'm cooking with while working at the farm, huh?
Well, maybe just make sure you wash your hands after playing with your furry and feathered friends on the land. But actually, most current efforts to address the joint issues of water and food safety focus on water availability and agriculture's huge impact on it.
Let's backtrack and focus on that for a second.
What, the need to wash my hands? I do, guys, I promise.
No, not that, Cleo. Although, we're glad to hear that. What I meant is we should hone in on the topic of water availability. This is where the real challenge begins, as there is general agreement that water, as a resource, has become a critical global issue.
Yeah, the availability of clean, potable water is decreasing while its demand is increasing, mostly due to the growing global population, which is expected to reach 9 billion by 2050.
Now, that's a lot of hand washing. How are we going to do that with less water?
Certainly a lot of hand washing, but actually these increases in water demand are also due to rising standards of living. Let me explain. In developing countries, people are starting to demand more manufactured products that need water for production.
Okay, I understand the increases in water demand, but where do the decreases in availability come from?
Well, the decreases in available and affordable fresh water arise from climatic changes. They result in drought and saltwater intrusion into aquifers in regions that previously contained freshwater.
And I hate to break it to you, Cleo, but although a variety of users compete for access to water, it is the agriculture and food sector that's the largest user.
Really? How so?
Well, farms use large quantities of water in the irrigation process, as well as during general agricultural production and in the processing of agricultural commodities into consumer products.
But water is also used as a medium to physically move these products through processing steps, meaning water comes into play when we heat up and cool down our products or when we wash them.
Okay, I understand that our farms use a lot of our water supply, but what does this mean for the impact of water on food safety exactly?
Well, water can be a source of contaminants in our foods, and contaminated food does not equal food safety.
Exactly. The most recent estimates published by the United States Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, or the CDC, indicate that as many as 48 million cases of foodborne illness arise each year, leading to 128,000 hospitalizations and 3,000 deaths in the U.S. alone.
And the World Health Organization, or the WHO, estimates that more than 2 million people die each year from diarrheal diseases, and that many of these cases are caused by consumption of contaminated foods.
Whoa, whoa. If the implications are so drastic, why have we not been doing anything about this water problem?
Well, addressing this issue has been a bit complicated.
And it continues to be.
Yeah, I guess there must be several factors that go into addressing water's impacts on our food safety.
Exactly. And one of the reasons that addressing the problem has been so difficult is because most people fail to recognize the fact that water is, by nature, a significant component of food.
Yeah, there seems to be a lack of fundamental scientific understanding regarding exactly how water can adversely affect food safety.
And not to mention that one of the biggest issues in addressing the challenge of water and food safety is the evident lack of political will to reform regulation, as regulatory systems across the country remain poorly coordinated today.
Ah, the regulatory system. We definitely need to see some changes there. Policy has to support the development and use of appropriate technology to ensure that regulatory agencies and the agricultural industry adopt the best practices for water usage.
But Aubrey, when we're talking about water usage, policymakers need to make sure to consider food safety in the discussion rather than just conservation and availability. Well, the latter often dominates these conversations.
But guys, water sources cross state and even national borders. So don't these regulatory agencies and practices need to involve international coordination?
Right, Cleo. And your point is also valid because food and water are major components of global trade. So solutions will require international attention.
Well, the good news is that food safety itself has received increasing attention from policymakers in the past decade. And this has prompted instances of regulatory changes in several countries, including China, Canada, France, and even the US.
Such regulatory reforms may adversely impact international trade of foods, and perhaps even prompt challenges for the World Trade Organization.
The World Trade Organization?
Yeah, the World Trade Organization, or the WTO, as we like to call it here in Geneva. It's the only international organization dealing with the rules of trade between nations. The goal is to help producers of goods and services, exporters and importers conduct their businesses.
And at its heart are the WTO agreements, negotiated and signed by the majority of the world's trading nations. So if regulatory changes in water and food safety are undertaken in some nations and not others, importing and exporting food might face new challenges and slightly complicate current trade dynamics.
Well, actually, that's an interesting point because within the US, the Produce Safety Rule under the Food Safety Modernization Act specifically identifies agricultural water as a primary risk factor impacting the safety of fresh produce, meaning these regulations on water quality of our imported foods could identify which foods are available on our store shelves and which are not.
Well, while it is true that the recognition of water's significant role in food safety has been increasingly translated into action and improved policy, the US system for water regulation is still more disorganized than my bedroom on laundry day.
Oh, I've seen your laundry day scenes, and it's not pretty. Anyway, Daniela is right. While bottled water is regulated by the Food and Drug Administration, or FDA, municipal water is regulated by local, state, or federal agencies, depending on the location of the source of water. And beyond that overlap, the US Environmental Protection Agency, or EPA, sets the standards for most uses of water, including potable and recreational uses.
But anyway, water is usually regulated in terms of its availability and distribution. Regulation of water does not usually address the impact it may have on food safety.
So what can we do to move from recognition to action? Maybe education?
Actually, yeah. Learning how and to what degree water contributes to foodborne illness would be a major step forward in improving the safety of foods. I mean, at the beginning of this conversation, I thought of the correlation between water and safety to be confined to the spread of diseases rather than directly impacting our foods.
Most of us feel that way, Cleo, and that's because the scientific issues surrounding the importance of water to food safety would appear simple, but the issues are so much more complicated.
And that's because there's not much data out there on exactly how and to what degree pathogenic microorganisms gain access to foods via water. Without knowing this information, it's difficult to estimate the risk that any particular food poses to human health, or to develop preventive strategies.
So what kind of data do we need to be looking for to fully understand the implications of water on food safety?
Well, debaters came across the same dilemma, as they recognized that most available food safety information is difficult for the public to use and accurately assess food contamination. They stressed that it's urgent for authorities to consider how released information may result in different public reactions and could even cause public panic. Transparently educating the public about how food is produced is crucial to avoid adverse public reactions while providing an appropriate level of detail concerning food safety.
And one of the most important details refers to identifying the transfer rates of water contaminants to food as a top priority here. So then Cleo will be able to sleep peacefully and stop stressing out about her farm water.
But wait. Let's say some contaminants are still, in fact, getting into Cleo's everyday water supply. At what point can we say the water is safe or not safe to use?
That's a good question. Is there some kind of standard we can use to measure how safe is safe enough?
Well, the produce safety rule under the Food Safety Modernization Act that we mentioned earlier does establish two sets of criteria for microbial water quality, both of which are based on the presence of generic E. coli, which can indicate the presence of fecal contamination.
Great, so we have the standard set, which should make regulation simple, no?
If it were only that easy, I've said it before and I'll say it again. Researching water and food safety is less than simple, especially when it comes to logistics. The diverse sources and locations of water provide an immense pool of contaminant varieties to examine and analyze.
And even though we have the means to analyze the abundance of varieties, researchers then have to face the dilemma of how the data should be used for policy decisions regarding regulatory policy.
And I guess answering this question wouldn't just come down to how we can best advance science or ensure safety, but it would inevitably involve both funding and leadership.
Right, and funding inevitably relies on political will. However, the debaters did have a few suggestions about how to approach this problem. They suggested that, in order to contain the costs related to implementing technologies that facilitate clean water for agriculture, global standards need to adopt a cost-risk analysis that considers the many variables that impact water quality, especially for water used in the process of growing and handling food.
And since changes to global standards currently are not fast enough to be effective, debaters suggested that representatives from Codex member countries need to more rapidly share relevant information. Urgent data on which we need to focus include describing how water contaminates food before consumption, which directly affects human health and illness, especially in less affluent countries.
Hold on a sec. Codex member countries? What is Codex exactly?
Oh, the Codex Alimentarius is actually a collection of internationally recognized standards. The texts come from the Commission of Member States that was established in early November 1961 by the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations and was joined by the World Health Organization, or WHO, in June 1962. Its main goals are to protect the health of consumers and ensure fair practices in international food trade, which of course requires international cooperation.
Oh, definitely. Even just changing the way that we deal with water as food will require significant policymaker input and would have significant international policy implications. Addressing the public health implications of viewing water as food will require, at the very least, a high level of coordination between water authorities and those responsible for food safety around the world.
Okay, well, even if it does take a political miracle, it could prove to be incredibly beneficial all around. Success in improving the safety of foods by addressing water issues would not only have public health benefits, but also societal benefits.
You've got a point there. It could reduce the potential for foodborne illness, but it would also reduce regulatory burden by allowing agencies to focus on prevention efforts rather than an investigation of outbreaks.
And taking it even further, improved prevention of foodborne illness would result in increased confidence in governments and trading partners.
Right, but for this to happen, authorities must agree that water has to be treated as a national and international food safety issue.
And we all know the difficulties of international agreement, or even national agreement for that matter.
Yeah, unfortunately, this is the biggest barrier in moving forward. The inconsistent manner with which water has been viewed around the world has put us in a situation in which some fundamental issues involving water have never been fully considered, like this water as it's incorporated into food issue.
But there could be hope. Suggestions for future consideration could include funding agencies focusing on water's role in food safety as an initial step forward, meaning the National Academies of Sciences and the Institute of Medicine, the National Institute of Health, the USDA, and the National Science Foundation could all be charged with conducting a comprehensive study of the public health impact of water as food, with the goal of identifying critical missing data.
You bring up a good point. But although there is hope in delegating research to the various food and health entities you mentioned, debaters did also suggest creating one umbrella agency. In other words, governments should consider placing regulatory authority for agricultural water within one agency for standardization purposes.
That is true, okay. So maybe the USDA or FDA could be in charge of national food safety with a special focus on water.
Well, not so fast. Those agencies are good candidates, but debaters mentioned that perhaps an executive cabinet-level department would be a stronger umbrella for all these agencies to fall under, in order to coordinate all efforts between regulatory players.
Ooh, sounds fancy. But wait, what exactly is an executive cabinet-level department?
Well, the cabinet includes the vice president and the heads of 15 executive departments. You know, like the Secretary of Agriculture or the Secretary of Defense.
Okay. So debaters recommended establishing one cabinet to focus specifically on the issues surrounding water in the U.S. And as we mentioned before, maybe a similar umbrella could be established at the international level.
Yeah, this could be headed by perhaps the Food and Agriculture Organization, or even the World Health Organization of the UN, in order to emphasize the public health context of water's consequences on food safety.
Yeah, but at the same time, guys, we have to remember that debaters did argue that this proposal for a new separate authority or massive reorganization of the already existing institutional arrangements is not necessarily feasible. They conceded that if this umbrella agency can't be implemented, then the already existing agencies do need to consistently communicate with each other on issues related to water, both in the use of human and animal foods.
Well, in the meantime, while we wait for the global standards to shift and international regulations to be implemented, debaters suggested that governments connect individually and support positive incentives, such as product labels noting higher safety standards. These developments would encourage farmers and processors to use high-quality water at all stages of food production.
Love the enthusiasm we've got going on. I seriously see light bulbs popping up, which is motivating considering that concern over water has mostly focused on conservation and availability of clean water, which is a narrow scope. And although this concern is clearly warranted, it doesn't fully convey the role that water plays in achieving food safety.
Well, now it's your turn to weigh in on social media. We're looking forward to seeing what you thought of today's episode.
So, is it critical for public health officials, regulators, and food companies to understand, acknowledge, and appreciate the fact that, in order to produce safe foods, the quality of water used in the process must be monitored and maintained?
Should funding priorities for research include clauses reflecting the need for data on water issues and food safety? Should water authorities be streamlined under a national or even international agency?
Tweet us your thoughts using the hashtag ISGPForum, and be sure to follow us on Twitter at ISGPForum.
Don't forget to like us on Facebook as well.
Thanks for joining us here at the Institute on Science for Global Policy today. Hope you enjoyed socializing with science, and we'll catch you next time right here on the forum.
The Institute on Science for Global Policy, or ISGP, is a nonprofit organization that convenes international meetings bringing together scientists, policymakers, industry leaders, students, and other stakeholders to discuss pertinent scientific issues facing society. The ISGP has no opinions and does not lobby. Therefore, the preceding podcast reflects the views expressed by the presenters and debaters at our conference. For more information, please visit our website at www.scienceforglobalpolicy.org. Thank you.